Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Now look at this picture. You got Tupac, you got MC Hammer, you got Suge Knight, you got Snoop Dogg, myself. That's all at my draft party at the House of Blues. I mean, everybody was there, from Ice Cube, Kid and Play, Ice-T. I mean, I could just go on and on and on about the celebrity-driven fest that it was. What's going on? It's Keyshawn, and it's that time of year. The NFL draft is coming up tonight. My show, Undisputed, presents All Facts and No Breaks. We're back with another episode with me and my son, Keyshawn Johnson Jr. We're going to talk about the NFL draft experience that I went through back in 1996, along with many other things in today's NFL, amongst other, you know, celebrities and all sorts of NBA news and wild stuff. What's up, man?
What's up? Well, first of all, how you been?
How's I'm your good. Weekend?
You know, I'm just getting back from St. Thomas for my mom's birthday. So
okay, flex in St. Thomas.
You know,
got it.
Flex, got a little tan. But it's about you. Let's talk about your draft night. So almost 28 years ago to this day, the NFL draft, the New York Jets selected you for the first overall pick. Not only were you the first overall pick, GQ said you were number one in the top 40 worst draft suits in sports history.
Well, that may be true to GQ that don't know what the hell they talking about. Well, back Twitter, in 1996.
Yeah, Twitter was also on your ass a little bit. Let's check out these comments. They said Key got that three full suit for the price of one. You know, they're on you, man. What do you got to say to that?
But
you
know, that's but they like don't the, they don't understand that in 1996 that was the look. I could pull up pictures all the way from Michael Jordan to everybody. That's just what it was. You had all the buttons, whether it was Dion, whether it was MJ. Hell, even look at Melo. They making fun of Melo, Carmelo Anthony right now on the advice of draft day suits, because when he came out of Syracuse for the NBA draft, he had on one of them type suits with the big old,
I think
big old
he was
shoulder
on there.
Pads. And that's just...
He was on the list too.
That was part of it. That was part of it. But that's the internet and Twitter and social media. They don't know what the hell they be talking about half the time anyway, and I keep trying to tell y'all that.
Well, I mean, obviously you did something right, but let's talk about the after party. So producers got some picks. Being from L.A., going number one in L.A., what do you remember from that night?
Well, that night I had a draft party. So I got drafted. I flew home. We had a draft party at the House of Blues that was famous on Sunset Boulevard in between La Cienega. And everybody, I mean, it was one of those deals, Keyshawn. Being from South Los Angeles, being a native son, it was almost like everybody got drafted today. I got drafted. You look at these pictures, that's Deion Sanders in there with the late Lawrence Phillips. Now look at this picture. You got Tupac, you got MC Hammer, you got Suge Knight, you got Snoop Dogg, myself. That's all at my draft party at the House of Blues. I mean, everybody was there, from Ice Cube to the legendary sportscaster and Jim Hill, Kid and Play, Ice-T. I mean, I could just go on and on and on about the celebrity-driven fest that it was. It was probably about 1,800 people packed in the House of Blues, with another estimated of over 2,000 people in the streets of Sunset trying to get into
the club. That's what I was going to ask. Was it like an invite party, or people were just showing up?
It was invite.
After it was word of mouth, they were like, oh,
it was invite only. Then it turned into, oh, Keyshawn's having a party.
Yeah.
And then it became... Some people that I gave invitations to that was on the invite list, they couldn't even get in because it was filled to capacity.
Oh, wow.
And so you had Coolio performed. He had just come off a Grammy. He won the Grammys for like Paradise, that song or whatever. He performed. West Side Connect with Ice Cube and all of them performed. Then Snoop and Tupac and them,
yeah.
They came and they dropped some knowledge and performed. It was crazy though. It was crazy. Then the next day, I had a midterm test and I was faded.
For school?
Yeah, I had next day I had a midterm test at USC. I was but that's the problem with y'all. Is y'all don't know how to get something done.
But you're already done.
No, I'm not.
You're number one pick.
Yeah, but I hadn't graduated. Degree is important. That's what I keep trying to tell y'all. The degree is important. So what I did, across the street, was the hotel. We had the hotel booked. You know, we partied until the sun came up. I went straight from partying, smelling like Absolute or a Grey Goose or one of them vodkas, to the communication class. And went in, and I don't know how I did it, but I wound up getting a B on the test, and I didn't look over anybody's shoulders. I didn't cheat. I didn't do nothing. But I prepared while we was on the road doing the draft. I was still studying and trying to knock it out because, you know, it's important to me to make sure that people don't just look at me as an athlete that does not have an education.
Yeah.
So, man, I aced the test to the point where it was talked about at USC for like ever, the fact that, much like you just said, oh, you don't have to do, that's the way everybody was thinking.
Yeah, no.
I'm like,
maybe
no,
go
I'm
back
finish.
In a year or two or so. You said
no,
you
I'm gonna finish
do it that
the
day.
Deal and be done with it.
Yeah.
But it was fun. I had a good time, man. That party was pretty lit. No, it was
could,
in there.
I
too.
Could imagine.
Ooh, they
I
was in imagine. There from yeah, head yeah. to toe. You talk about man, you talk about the girls.
Yeah, no. Nah,
Lord have mercy.
But no, this year, let's talk about the draft more. So this year's draft class features a ton of former NFL players. Marvin Harrison Jr., Frank Gore Jr., Luke McCaffrey, Brendan Rice, who we had on the show, you know, Chris Jenkins Jr., Joe Alt.
A lot of ex-NFL players' sons will have the opportunity to follow their fathers and their footsteps and go on and try to have successful careers. It's a tall bar, though, with Frank Gore, Jerry Rice, Marvin Harrison. Imagine trying to follow that up.
Right. Like, Frank Gore is, what, second most all time? And then Jerry Rice is Jerry Rice. You know that. But my question is, who has the best chance to surpass the father?
Surpass them?
Yeah. Because I feel like they already, you know, lived up to the legacy of getting or going to get drafted. But who do you think could really, like, take that next level and just be better?
I think Marvin Harrison Jr. could remind you a lot of his dad and the things that he was able to do in Indy. When you start talking about Brendan Rice, he's not going to be Jerry. It's just not going to happen. And then Frank Gore's son, I mean, Frank Gore played for like 1,000 years. So yeah. I don't necessarily know if Frank Gore's son could live up to the hype and expectations of what his dad was able to do. But the fact that they, like you said, the fact that they were able to even be in the draft process is a accomplishment to itself.
Yeah, no doubt. So we're going to wrap up draft talk by handing superlatives out this year. So basically, who's the first person that comes up to mind in each of these categories? So who's the best pass catcher?
Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah,
probably Marvin.
Yeah, I mean, you could go Bowers, the tight end from Georgia, pass catcher. But he's a tight end, not necessarily a receiver.
Sure
he's kind
hands.
Of like a hybrid. I would say sure-handed. Sure hands, probably Bowers.
Okay. Highest upside.
Highest upside?
Just in the draft. It doesn't have to be.
No, I know. I'm just trying to think. Highest upside. I would say J.J. McCarthy, but he's got to sit on the sidelines and wait. He's got to sit on, because you don't know what he is. So all of a sudden, if he goes to the right situation in the right environment with the right coaches and he sits on the sidelines and waits a few years for his opportunity and then you move him in there, he's learned a lot in a short amount of time. He can step right in and start playing.
So he's not a type that you could just throw in the fire.
No, I don't think so.
So who's most likely to be like Zach Wilson that gets thrown into the fire early and then, you know, burns?
Most likely like a Zach Wilson. But Zach Wilson, was in the wrong situation in the wrong environment.
Exactly.
So he didn't have an opportunity to. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Sam Darnold. The New York Jets were bad organization. So guys, when you go to bad organizations and you don't have players around you and your coach is a bum, this is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You're going to be a bum. I mean, that's just the reality of it. I tell people all the time, my rookie year in 1996, I did cool. I put up decent numbers for a rookie.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope. Because
I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
But I wasn't in the right environment, in the right situation, in the right surroundings. I died and went to heaven when next year when Bill Parcells and them came.
Winning because, culture, huh?
Yeah, it was a whole different winning culture. A year later, I was in the AFC Championship game, Pro Bowls. I was a value guy that could surrender two number one picks via trade. I was the highest paid receiver in the game. Had I stuck with Richie Kotite in that environment, man, I might be, hell, I would be working at UPS or something. Not that there's anything wrong with working at UPS. It's a job, but you know what I'm saying, opposed to being here at Fox with you.
Yeah, it's completely different once you have
totally different.
But who's the biggest red flag?
Biggest red flag in the draft?
It's like, well, hold on here. Why I see a little?
Is that a red flag meaning bad or red flag meaning that they're not going to pan out? Because the red flags are different. It depends on character. What's a red flag from a character standpoint? Is he smoking up all the weed in the weed house? Is he getting into trouble because of his girlfriend?
I don't think they care about that
anymore. What's the red flag?
But I would say, like, the red flag being like, oh, he's just overrated, like, just in football.
I think J.J. McCarthy could be a major red flag. If they insert him into the lineup too fast, I think Drake May could be a red flag. I think, you know, depending on how you use Malik Nabers could be potentially a red flag because he's predominantly a slot receiver, although he played on the outside a little bit. When you're playing in a slot, you're going up against third corners and nickels and dimes coverages, and you're going up against linebackers and strong safeties. In the National Football League, it's a little bit different. So there's a couple guys that could be red flags.
Okay. And then most likely to lead the team to the Super Bowl. That's kind of hard, but I guess quarterback.
Most likely to lead a team to a Super Bowl.
Not this year, but, you know, say the next 5 years.
I'd say Jaden Daniels. Okay. I see Jaden Daniels in the next 5 years could most likely, out of all the guys that I'm thinking about, lead a team to a Super Bowl.
Okay. So in other news, Reggie Bush got his Heisman back. Shout out USC. What do you think about that? How do you feel about it?
Well, he never lost it as far as I'm concerned. So how did he get it back? Because we saw with our own eyes what he was capable of doing as a player. Like, just because he got a little extra cash flow going for his parents, so what? It's legal now. It should have been legal back then. But yeah, I'm glad that he got it back. He could close the chapter on this one, slam the door, and he could now walk around with his head up and not feel like the world is against him.
Yeah, Johnny Football said he was going to boycott the Heisman if they didn't give it back. You think that helped out a little bit?
It probably did. It made zero sense as to why they would take the Heisman away, because nothing that went on in the extracurricular activity economically contributed to Reggie Bush being the Heisman Trophy winner in 2005. Nothing. Like, what did he get that made him a better football player? Like, from...
He was already that. Like,
yeah, like, it's again. Just... It's stupid.
Well, Jerry Jones doubled down on being all in this offseason during the Cowboys pre-draft press conference. Let's watch that clip.
We feel great about what we've been in pre-agency. All in. All in. All in. We're all in with these young guys coming up. And we're all in with this draft. You have to have rookies contribute or you aren't getting the value that you need to have. These are your lesser paid as far as the other relative to veterans. They're going to the good ones are going to get paid to have other days of more pay. But that's got to meld in with the overall management, or it doesn't work, because you've got 9, 10 players getting 70% of the money.
So, Dad, do you believe Jerry when he says they're all in, or is he bluffing, you think?
No, all in just means that we're doing everything that we feel we need to do to win, not what everybody else feels that they need to do to win. They're 100% all in. And he's right. When you got about 9 to 10 players eating up 70% of your salary cap, you got to figure out how to spread the wealth, how to get young in certain positions. Because people that don't understand, each room, position room, has a number. And if I spend too much money in the receiver room, then I don't have enough money to spend in the running back room or the offensive line room or the tight end room or the defensive line room. So you got to make sure that certain things are balanced across the board based on the salary cap. Quarterbacks are going to eat up 30-some-odd percent of your salary cap anyway. That's just the way it's constructed. Mm-hmm. But I don't have no problem with him saying they all in. Everybody wants them to go out there and do what the Philadelphia Eagles did, and that recipe never works for success.
So Caitlin Clark is signing an 8-year, $28 million shoe deal with Nike. Under Armour offered her $16 million for 4 years with Steph Curry involved.
16?
Yeah, 16 for four. And then Adidas did $6 million for 4 years. I don't know how they thought they'd get away with that. But what do you think of her deal? Should she have gotten more?
I probably think she could have gotten a little bit more. I don't know how much. I don't really know much about the female shoe game.
Well, there's only 17 WNBA players to ever have a shoe deal.
Yeah, so I don't know what the numbers. It seemed like a lot, but it doesn't seem like enough. In the end,
12.
She went with the right company. They do a tremendous job from a marketing standpoint in basketball. She's obviously going to be the face of the WNBA to start this new season coming up. Mm-hmm. They know how to market like hell. You just look at their success and their track record, whether it's Michael Johnson in track, Tiger Woods in golf, Michael Jordan in basketball, LeBron, Kobe, I can go on and on and on. Mm-hmm. Dion and Bo in football. It just makes all the right. They are the gorilla on the block in the shoe game. So
no doubt.
Hats off to her. That's a lot of money for her to be making coming out of college basketball on the female side, but that thing's going to keep going up over time anyway.
Yeah, no doubt. So earlier in the week, Michael Penix Jr. wrote a letter to NFL GMs addressing his injury concerns. Did you like this stance from Penix a few days before the draft?
I mean, he could change their mind to some degree, but he's been injured. He has ACL issues in the past. And at the end, I'll tell him, just like I'll tell anybody, it's not where you start, it's where you finish. And if he doesn't get picked as high as he wants, it's going to be miserable. He's going to have this agony and feel defeated. Every time somebody comes off that board at his position, they come off, he's going to twist again in the chair. They're going to come off, he's going to do this. They're going to come off. But once they call his name, and he puts on that hat with his family around, and they get to crying, and you ain't never got to work again, mommy, and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
He'll forget all about all the who went in front of him, and then the real work starts. So don't get caught up in where you start. And I know people, it's easy for you to say you're the number one overall pick. Well, that's because I put in the work. I put in the work, and I did everything I was supposed to do, but I also understand how this draft process goes and how a lot of kids get defeated when they think, in the end, their careers are going to be over because they didn't go in the first round. Mm-hmm. They wind up going in the third round. They win the second. Or they was the 27th pick opposed to the 7th pick. And they think the world is over with. You just getting started. So that's what I would say to him. The letter, it just, whatever. That's a good gesture. It's like some quarterback shit quarterbacks would actually do. That's what quarterbacks do, shit like that. Yeah, write letters
and big thing about it.
Play the quarterback game.
I mean, I feel like it's a good card to play, though. Like, it is.
Oh,
it does
God.
Show,
the general managers ain't thinking about no damn letter, boy.
Adversity. But, all right, I want to get to your quick thoughts on some of the other trending sports stories. After game 2 of the Nuggets-Lakers playoffs game, Nikola Jokic's brother decked a fan in the stands. What do you think the league will do about this?
Well, I never saw that because I'm not a social media guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But he took off on the dude.
And it's not the first time his brothers have been involved in drama. You know, they got in it with
But you get to talking crazy, and I don't know if they put their hands on the dude or whatever, but if you're talking crazy and something, you're talking crazy to get your ass whooped.
I think they should just go get a box or something. Like, just stay away from the fans.
My entire family got into a fight my rookie year. in Washington.
I did not know that.
We was playing at the time to watch the Redskins, and I scored a touchdown in the right hand corner. Going in, it was the right hand corner. But when I caught the ball, I came down simultaneously, and the ball was slapped out. So it became one of those instant replay, put the instant replay back in. It became a controversy. So they didn't give me the touchdown. So we back on the sideline. I think we might have kicked the field goal or something, but we back on the sideline, and I'm standing there, and I'm looking at the field. And all of a sudden, I turn around, and there's some stuff going on in the stands. The play, we all turn around and start looking. And I look up about 8 rows. You got E-Rock up there. You got Kim.
Shout out Eric. Shout out Kim.
They throwing haymakers.
I'm already knowing.
They throwing real. And so people on the team, they all knew who my family was. So they like, Keith, man, your sister and brother them up there fighting. Oh, and God. I'm looking. I'm just standing there looking dumbfounded. I'm like, this shit is embarrassing. But I'm like, whatever, you know.
Yeah, you got a game to play.
But clearly the dudes from the Redskins have been antagonizing them all game long. And then when that didn't happen, they start talking. And you already know they're not going to have it. They just not.
So, yeah, you kind
of. That was a bad move on their part.
Yeah,
see, they didn't even get kicked out, though. The other people got kicked out.
Yeah, probably because they knew they were with you. And they're like, yeah, that is what it is. But so the wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, shout out him, modern day. He got signed for a massive 4-year, $120 million extension. And it's resetting the receiver market. Dad, do you like this deal?
Yeah, that's a good deal. He deserved it. He's the best slot receiver in the game.
Yeah.
And that's what they want to do. They want to retain their players that they drafted. Penei Sewell actually got a big deal the same day as Amon-Ra St. Brown.
4-year, 112.
Yeah, so, you know, an 80-some million dollars of guaranteed money. So, yeah, they both deserve it. Amon-Ra, I'm glad for him and his family and whatnot. I know him very well. And what can you say?
Yeah, shout out the Browns.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Are the 49ers going to be forced to trade Ayuk after the extension the Lions just gave him? Or you think they'll pay him?
You know, I feel like Ayuk going to be on the trading block tonight in the NFL draft or this weekend, so to speak. I feel like he's going to wind up getting moved because if I am Ayuk, I need to get my money, man. We not fit to play with my money. They just gave this dude this type of money. I need to get over and above. That's just the reality of it.
Yeah.
Brandon Ayuk. Woo! I know how that feel.
You're like, okay, it's my turn now.
I know how it feel being in that position as a player once upon a time and watching somebody else go before you. And then you sit back and go, oh, yeah, okay. It's all good. I'm about to get my money.
Okay, so what do you think about another $100 million man, Michael Thomas? You think he's going to get on a team soon?
Yeah, I think when you talk about Mikey or your cousin, yeah, my nephew, I think eventually he'll get signed, having health issues. They want to get past the draft, all of those sort of things, sift through what's out there available. But I do believe he'll be in somebody's training camp this year. But injuries have played a key role in why he hasn't been signed in free agency just yet.
Yeah. So a high school football player tried to troll DK Metcalf. Let's play this clip.
He just said Fortnite guy. Hey, let's go.
What you say?
DK.
I said dinner, I'm why you say that?
Ooh,
it's film.
What?
It's a film. And who are you?
Oh. Oh. Who are you? Who are you?
I'm Sebastian. What's your name?
Sebastian Ramirez.
You play football?
Yeah.
Good luck to you, bro.
Thank you.
No problem.
Let's go.
We can't do a backflip. Do a backflip.
So what would you have done in this situation? I know you've been a 7-on-7 coach. I know high schoolers talk crazy to you before.
Yeah, I get you get that all the time with people, but
I can remember. Remember Teddy Bridgewater? Remember?
Yeah, but you know, Teddy and, yeah. and God, it was Teddy
South
Bridgewater.
South Florida Express.
South Florida Express 707 team. And I'm trying to think on that team. Amari Cooper, Teddy Bridgewater. There's a couple more players. Devontae Parker.
Oh, damn. I didn't know all that.
Ryan Shazier. They all was on that team. Wow. But they was talking in general. If that was me, though, I probably would have just laughed at the dude and said to him, you trying to get to where I'm at? Something along those lines. You trying to get to where I'm at. That's why you're here watching me.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have, as a young football player like DK Metcalf, I didn't have kid trash talkers. I had adults.
Right.
All the kids, they loved me. I mean, it was just, signature shoes, signature clothing line, commercials. Kids always fuck with me. They rock with me even to this day. My demographics go from 8-year-old all the way up to dudes in their 60s, mm-hmm. still to this day. So, but older dudes, you just humble. I remember one time the dude was talking shit in the stands, and I told him simply, your wife didn't say that.
Not the wife.
Oh, yeah. I cut to the white meat. No, I ain't got no problem. I'll make you bleed all day long.
I like that.
I'll make you bleed all day. I told a dude that before, and your wife didn't say that. Your mama. Oh, I go.
She's probably on the left to her, huh? He was right there. She was right
Man,
there.
Man, please. You don't even want to know half the stories, Keyshawn.
She looked good on that day. But all right. So the last time we did the show, we had a fan question about your favorite spots in L.A., and you mentioned Prince's spot, Glam Slam Club.
Yeah.
Do you have any Prince stories?
You know what? I never saw Prince in the club. But he was there, but I never saw him.
Give us like a
So here's one. Yeah, so here's one. So when we go to Glam Slam one night, it's like me, Tamekas. Might have been like me, Tamekas, Skeets, Marlon. It was like my crew of people. Mm-hmm. So we go to the club. We're young at this time. So the NBA All-Star game, right? You know the NBA All-Star game. So Magic Johnson used to have an All-Star game called Midnight Summer Night Magic, if I said that correctly. Midnight Summer Night Magic. I think I said it right. It was bigger than the All-Star game.
Really?
Yeah, it was bigger than the All-Star game. It was here in L.A. at the Great Western Forum. And they would have the after party at Glam Slam. And this was like big. I mean, Michael Jordan, Dominique, well, like everybody that you could think of in that day and era played in this All-Star game. Mm-hmm. Big time stuff. And we was young. We was like freshmen or something like that in college. And I think Chris Webber was a rookie. And we behind Chris Webber. We trying to get into the club. We behind Chris Webber. And so we like, man, I'm saying, you know, we over there sweating to get in.
I'm
with you. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Chris like, yeah, you know, come on.
That's cool.
So we slide in.
This was before the fair. You said freshman year. So this is
LA, huh? Yeah, this was like freshman year, college, something like that.
Yeah.
So now we like, we going in, we cool, we with Chris. He take us to the door. But now he going to slide in. He done slid in. He ain't got time to see if we. So now I'm like, no, we with my brother. So dude, look at me like, oh, yeah, that's Chris's brother.
You kind of do look like Chris.
And so in the end, Kiki, we slid in. And it was like crazy. It was crazy, crazy, crazy.
Because
there was real adults in there. Like you got to see Isaiah Thomas. Like it was crazy.
Yeah, it's a whole different crowd. It was being a freshman in college.
Man, it was a whole different crowd. It was a whole different crowd. But it was fun.
But yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, no, that's it. Draft night is going to be fun, though.
It will be fun.
Get a chance to watch a bunch of kids live their dreams.
Oh, wait, quick question. Who do you think is someone that will be, you know, a big random, you know, just, a draft trade or something like that where it's just like
I think Minnesota going to do something stupid and trade the two number one picks and move up and draft one of these quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I think they'll do that. But what I was going to say, though, is going to be a lot of tears shared tonight, both on the positive and on the negative side. And what I mean by that, it's a whole lot of mamas that's getting ready to retire after the night. Because their baby's going to take care of them. And it's a whole lot of young men that think they belong in the first round because they had great seasons. And they're going to cry. They're going to be sad. They ain't going to go to sleep tonight because they're going to have to wait till tomorrow and even in the next day. But I could almost to a point guarantee you, more than 50% of these dudes that get drafted in the first round today will be out of the league in 4 years. Mm. I can almost guarantee you that. So those that don't go today, that doesn't mean it is all lost. That just means you didn't go today. Mm-hmm. That's it. Same thing I told my nephew that win the second round. Them dudes that go before you going to be out the league by the time you sign your new deal. And if God is lying and not my witness,
man,
all that happened. That's all a wrap facts. For today. Don't forget to subscribe and follow All Facts Pod on social media. Until then, it's Keyshawn. Peace.